This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Jim's wife in the studio tonight here at Dead Air and KPFT. I want to thank the After Hours crew for indulging us for a couple of minutes. We're going to turn it over to them right away. 90.1 KPFT in Houston, 89.5 on the island of Galveston. We'll see you next week at 11 p.m.
Here you go.
Star up in the sky.
hammer it, peace with my blast.
The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours. Yes, I love to be queer. Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world, and welcome to the October 8th edition of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. I'm Jimmy Carper. I'll be your co-executive MC for the evening.
Hi.
And who the hell are you?
He looks over at me like, who the hell am I? Hi, I'm Merlin.
You don't look like Chris.
No, I don't. That's a good thing.
I don't like him either.
What happened to Chris? Chris is not here. Chris is taking a hiatus here.
Yeah, he's taking a short sabbatical.
Taking a little night off there. And, you know, with all the stuff that I've piled on him the last couple of months, it's, you know, hey.
Uh-huh.
He was supposed to go to New Orleans for Convergence. Or
except there was this little problem.
Yeah, so he didn't get to go out of town and get away from me for a week, so he needed to do that this week.
Some people do need to get away once in a while.
Especially from me.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, Stanley leaves tomorrow. Or later today, actually.
Hi, Stanley.
Yes.
I love you.
Mm-hmm.
To death.
Now, let's see. Merlin, how you been?
Oh.
Missed you last week.
Yeah, well, there was this little thing called the Renaissance Festival.
Oh, yeah. That's
I'm not a nice person after I'm done with the Renaissance
Festival. That's the excuse we gave.
Yeah, you would not have liked me when
I remember.
I was in a little bit,
testy.
You see, I have this best friend. And this dear, sweet woman, love needs to be there at God 30 in the morning.
Oh, no.
Actually, she needs to be out of the house by God 30 in the morning that she can be there by opening ceremonies.
Well, then I would need to sleep in the car.
Yes. Well, we were late getting out the door this year. We left at 7 a.m. Yes. And we still didn't make it there by opening ceremonies.
Ooh.
And so because we stopped at Cracker Barrel and made, like... And scared people with our costumes.
Uh-huh.
It was fabulous. And thusly is the reason you did not see me last week. Because after that, I went to bed.
Well, we've got a few little items we want to talk about here first before we get our After Hours Quickie in, which this week is ICOH. And they're going to help me with this, as a matter of fact.
Because we know you need help.
Yes, we've got Judy Reeves, and we've got his almost...
His almost highness?
Yes.
when it's not sagging on the floor.
And trust me, it is tonight.
We have Apollo Emperor-elect Mark Cohen.
Ooh.
I forgot his serene highness and all that.
Yeah, sereneness.
At this hour, yeah, exactly.
His high isn't so high right now.
And that all happens next week, and you're going to tell us about it in a little bit.
We sure will, Jenny.
But first, I want to talk about a couple other things going on. Sunday, your ass needs to be at Mary's.
Can I take the rest of it?
Yes.
Well, because the pile of debris is stepping down.
Speaking of asses.
As Miss Mary.
All right.
And that means that we're going to have a new Miss Mary's. And that all happens at 5 o'clock.
Are you running?
No.
Oh, okay. Just thought I'd ask.
No. That's way too scary.
Does that mean you already have a sash and don't need another one?
As a matter of fact, I do happen to have a sash, and I don't want another one.
Okay, fine.
Don't go there, girl.
And
everybody should have a sash.
Wait a minute. Who is this here? Rad Rich.
Hi, tall person.
Rad Rich, yes.
And where is he groping?
And Gary Floyd is going to be at Rudd's tomorrow night. Well, actually, tonight. Later on tonight.
Yes.
Saturday night at Rudd's.
He's going to have to write faster than that.
You know, this whole thing.
I know.
This
of the Dicks and of Sister Double Happiness and a couple others.
You
and
like
now he's on his own and he's so fine.
With the Dicks, right?
Yeah, I do like working with the Dicks, yes. And I heard your show last night.
Can I come join you?
Yes, I did. And I'm telling you, you play songs I wouldn't even consider.
And that's saying something.
Boy, I really liked it.
He's cute, too.
Yeah.
Did you hear me cut off Dennis Bernstein?
Yes. The highlight of my evening.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, if anybody asks, you ain't hitting nothing.
That's right. Now, Rad Rich is, he knows all about underground music. He knows all about, he knows the clubs here, and,
Oh, I just like to just say that that show tomorrow, like with Gary Floyd, is really
moving because I don't think enough people within the gay and lesbian scene, at music scene, I guess.
They know
they don't
of
know,
him.
They know of him.
That's
but
right.
They don't, but his work is so much, and he's done so much work.
Incredible.
He doesn't get any recognition.
No, he doesn't.
Think, so.
No. He's openly gay. He's always been openly gay.
Yeah, him and Biscuit. And
that's right.
It's a tribute to Biscuit. He used to be in the Big Boys, who was another openly gay man that was in the punk scene, which can be homophobic at times.
Yes, yes.
Very, very homophobic.
Yes.
And him and Gary Floyd were openly gay men that were in this scene that had to put up with a lot of crap. And they did with a smile on their face.
And they were successful.
Yeah, very
and
successful.
And they had huge followings.
Yeah, and they influenced people from Red Hot Chili Peppers on down the line.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
And so it would be great to have
it would be great to have a whole bunch of gay folks out there at Red's tomorrow night.
Yeah.
It really would to see Gary Floyd.
That, I like to say also that was the first when he was doing it, he was in the Dicks, he was the first one that I've even heard of George Jackson, who was a political prisoner that was killed at the hands of the police. And I didn't know about that till I heard Gary Floyd sing about it in a song.
Yeah, see?
So, very influential on
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
Be cool to see people out for that tomorrow.
Thank you, Rad. Now, that's pretty high praise coming from Rad, because, I mean, he knows his way around.
He's not giving praise to nobody.
That's right. He knows the scene. He, especially here in Houston, he knows what's going on. And he was the one who told me about Gary Floyd.
You know, there are people who think
I had no idea.
There are people who think the only three gay singers on the planet are George Michael, Elton John, and
Melissa
Etheridge.
Melissa Etheridge. Yeah, I know. And it's there's tons of it. But of course,
not that any of those are bad.
People who listen to this show already know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what have you got?
What have I got? I've got the Misfits Balls.
Oh yeah,
number 7 apparently.
Oh,
Locker Room Lockdown has been rescheduled for Sunday, October 23rd from 5 to 9 at Numbers at 300 Westheimer. All proceeds will go directly to the assistance fund, and all monies are to go to their client prescription copay program.
Cool.
The program enables clients to keep on their medications when they're unable to afford them.
Yeah.
And they'll have some great silent auction artists as...
Yeah.
As well as some come bid on our wares.
Yes.
Make plans to attend this event and party with the Misfits as they raise money to make a difference in the lives of those who need it.
And that's fabulous.
That was from Ken Claude.
Yeah.
President Misfits Houston.
Okay. I know Judy.
Would you like me to read the P.S. at the bottom of that?
No. No, that's fine. Thank you.
I want to hear it.
No.
It says, Hurricane Reader, kiss my, well, ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
Judy?
Hello.
What have you got?
Well, Saturday night, I don't know if that's today or tomorrow, whichever way you do that, is the upcoming Faces Contest at Keys West. There are going to be many special guest performances this week. Let's see. Returning will be Miss September, Jenna. Miss February, Just the Facade. Miss May. Hello. Excuse me.
Sorry.
Miss May with his Miss Gay Islander 205 Cinnamon. And a special performance by one of my favorites, Miss Mint Julep, Kendra Dior.
Yes.
Also, though, this particular time, we're going to have a special honored guest,
some
Lisa
unknown
Peronda.
Isn't some unknown Asian woman going to be there?
I haven't gotten there yet, girl. I'm reading this
some
one.
Unknown.
Okay. Lisa Peronda from KHOU-TV is going to be there. And believe me, I've seen this girl in action, and she is fabulous.
Really?
Oh, my God, this woman is an entertainer. Why she's not on stage, I don't know. Straight as an arrow, married to a beautiful man here fairly recently, but you'd never know it.
No.
Anyway, we won't go there.
Really?
In addition to that, there's a special return special performance by Empress, ICOH Empress Elect, Miss August Face of the Month, Chanel Cartier.
Oh.
So this is Saturday night at Keys West at 7 o'clock. And Charlie and Alan, hope everybody comes. Did I mention the beneficiary this time? Oh.
Not yet, but I'm sure you will.
Yes, I'm being clawed.
I will if you don't.
Camp Hope.
Oh,
Camp Hope is the beneficiary for this particular program. So everybody come out.
Love that.
See all these fabulous people and give us some big bucks.
Yeah, you bet.
Sounds exciting.
Mark, what have you got?
What I've got is not. Boy, don't you know what I already have?
I ain't going there.
But other than that, just like the Misfits Ball, there are other things going on in the city that have been rescheduled because the hurricane that wasn't.
Yeah.
And that would be Hatch's third annual GSA workshop. And that will be held on October the 22nd over at Montrose Counseling Center. And it is designed to help school faculty as well as students organize and strengthen their gay, straight, and alliances within the HISD school district. And that will be from 9 to 5. There is a registration. However, there is no fee to attend. And both lunch and materials for the workshops will be provided. So that's a great opportunity for young folks as well as teachers to get some information about how to get those workshops and those organizations plugged into their respective schools.
Okay. I know we've got a few other things, but I'm going to get to ICOH. It's time for a court report here.
Absolutely.
Since we happen to have ICOH folks here.
As we always are. And we love being here.
It's almost royalty.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you feel special?
No.
You should.
Oh, excuse me. I mean, yes. Wrong question, right answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you've got a little brown smudge on your nose. I don't know where that's from.
Don't even go there.
Well, you see, we were confused because
aren't you always?
I'm looking
that
at
never
you,
happens,
and
sir.
I don't see a single rhinestone.
How in the hell?
Check am I
collar.
Supposed to know that you are royalty?
Check the collar, girl. Check the collar. Oh, you missed the star.
Oh, see, it was turned down.
It was turned
down,
okay. Yes. Oops. Believe me, there are jewels in this room.
I stopped by the deposit box and dropped them all off before. You know, in this neighborhood, Jimmy, you've got to be really careful.
I refuse to walk into his car.
Yeah.
What can I say?
Yeah, we asked drag queens not to, you know, wear their finer things here.
Really?
Because they get mugged in the parking lot.
They can borrow my cheap stuff.
They've got finer things.
Not to mention that, you know, the space shuttle goes over, they get blinded by the glare.
No, it's terrible.
Oh, please. But it's getting deep in here.
Yeah, it is. And speaking of getting deep, as well as drag queens and so forth.
Yes.
You're right. ICOH, we will be celebrating. We actually started this evening with... Mission Accomplished.
Mission Accomplished.
Which was in honor of Eartha Quake, who is our reigning empress, as well as Gerald McNeil, our emperor, as they start their progression of kind of
descent.
Nudging.
The descent. Yes.
Well, as we kick their ass out of the door.
The descent.
And Chanel Cartier, who is the empress elect, and myself as Apollo emperor elect, kind
of. She double jointed. That girl's got moves.
She's
tonight, I never saw one.
She's
tonight.
Only double jointed on a good day.
Okay. I never saw some of those moves for tonight.
But tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock over at Rich's, we will be doing our awards reception. This is open to the public. And that is an opportunity for Gerald and Eartha to recognize individuals within the community that have contributed to our fundraising efforts. Our primary fundraiser this year being AIDS Foundation Camp Hope.
Yes.
In addition to that, Jimmy, we've had an incredible year so far to date. We have raised well in advance of $29,000 that we have already gifted out to other community agencies that do incredible work within the GLBT community.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about what we're coming up with, enthronement. That is the big money maker.
That is the biggie.
So we've raised $29,000 on small weeklies.
That's right.
fundraisers in bars and other fundraisers at other places and other types of fundraisers.
Exactly.
And if you want to know how much fun it is and what we do all year, tomorrow they're also going to be doing the slideshow.
Yeah.
So we get to see our year in review, so to speak, and I understand some of it.
And this is an organization that has about 50, 60 members?
Correct. Correct.
Raising
and we're very new.
Dollars. Yeah.
You know, we're going into, what, our fourth year?
Fourth year.
So relatively new. And it's just incredible that we do this dollar by dollar, day in and day out, for the community that we live in, as well as the community that is very important to us.
Yes.
From there, we kind of move into both Thursday and Friday, where we will have shows. The Thursday show, the Members of the Universe, will be over at Mary's beginning at 8. And that is for our court members to be able to perform for the community. And that will follow up by the Ambassadors of the Universe show on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be at EJ's beginning at 7. That will give our out-of-town guests, and we have folks from Portland, Seattle, Calgary, as well as the other individuals coming from the Northwest to be able to show their appreciation of what we have done for us. And then the big evening,
the great
kind
big
of
evening,
drum roll of sorts here, there you go, will be enthronement. And that is going to be at the Crown Plaza downtown, beginning at 7 o'clock. The doors will open at 6. And that is going to be the Royal Flush.
That's what it is.
Okay.
That's
go for it, Judy.
I can't even go there. All of a sudden, I'm speechless.
The whole year has been a Las Vegas theme.
Yes.
So that's why they wrote with
right.
Yes. Yeah. Vegas is
why am I suddenly not thinking of a card table?
Well, you weren't there tonight to see our new little
mascot. You know, it depends upon where you put that card table, I guess. You know, and the incredible thing about this is all of the proceeds will go to our beneficiary, AIDS Foundation, and it is $50, and that includes a buffet.
Mm-hmm.
It includes incredible entertainment, both local as well as out of the city, and a few cocktails are going to be poured.
Duh!
It includes hold on to your seats, whatever. It is 5 hours open bar.
Ta-da.
So all you can drink, hence Royal Flush.
Right.
5 hours open bar, $50.
By 10 o'clock, you won't be able to hold on to your seat.
Well, that's right. That's going to be cheaper than going out for a night on the town.
I tell you, it is.
Yeah.
You can't go to one of our local bars and walk away after 5 hours or stumble out or whatever. In addition, the cool thing that we're also doing this year is the Dowager's Disco and Dessert Bar afterwards, which is going to be a real fun thing to wrap up the evening, where you'll be able to kind of schmooze with Gerald and Eartha and kind of pick out on chocolates and scotch and bourbon and vodka.
Don't ruin good chocolate, girl.
You know, vodka and cheesecake, I tell you, can't beat that.
I'll take your word for that.
Okay.
Yes.
You have the vodka, I'll have the cheese.
Yes. There you go.
And if you really take advantage of that 5 hours, you're right there at a hotel.
Exactly. And if you're still thirsty after enthronement, we will open up hospitality again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've got a bottle or two of bourbon or vodka or a couple of beers in there.
Did I miss something somewhere?
A bottle or,
what,
or 12.
What did you miss, Judy? What did you miss?
Isn't there something going on a bus somewhere?
There is a bus tour, exactly.
I haven't heard about that.
Yeah.
You want to tell them about the bus tour?
No, I'm just a passenger.
She said bus for a second there. I thought
B-U-S.
She said,
yeah.
I thought she said rest. Yeah. I was
careful. Careful.
The girls can come.
They're at home resting up for next weekend.
That's right. We're resting up. Oh, you ought to see our dress.
I tell you.
Don't go there.
Okay. There is a bus tour. Thank you, Judy. And that will be Friday night also after the show at EJ's. And it will be a bus tour starting at 9 from EJ's. And we're going to be going to different areas of the Montrose. Kind of hopping and scotching and
four counts and, four.
And having a couple of scotches.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And during that time as well, we will be having the East Side Trash Contest.
I'm very afraid of that.
Yeah, you got to be.
Very afraid.
You
know,
gotta be.
Those, to enter, you've had to have sex with your first cousin and have very high foreheads.
I don't have the high forehead.
I think I met some of those while I was away for Hurricane Rita.
But it's a fun time as well.
I'll shut up now. Okay.
Come on.
No, that is a lot of fun. Plus, it's this like surprise bar tour because nobody knows.
No one knows
exactly
where it's going.
We started EJ's and that's
for,
the,
then you for,
the last one
for it's $10. We take you around town and have fun.
Yeah. Bring you back.
And the streets are safe because the bus drivers are a designated driver.
Yes, they,
that works.
The bus drivers are not imbibing.
Exactly.
I certainly hope.
But we'll
not
have the clothes on.
Oh. If there's a goddess smiling down upon me, yes. I'm on earth. Depends on the bus driver.
Well if it's a female bus driver, yes. You
they
know.
Never do that. Have you ever noticed that they
is
never
that
do that?
Is that an automatic or a stick
driver?
Shift?
Girl,
stick shift
if
we're lucky.
Back of the bus.
Okay.
Well.
I will not be that ornament this year. Anyway, moving right along.
Yes.
Yes. What else are we doing? Is that all?
No.
Oh, well, we have a very exciting if you survive everything on Saturday night.
No,
what?
No, go ahead.
Oh, if I was
going.
Okay. We have the victory brunch on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me. Yeah, Saturday. No, Sunday. What day
Sunday.
Is that? The 16th. Sunday. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Sunday, okay. Sunday,
thank
Sunday.
You. See, Jimmy didn't say it, so I got confused.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's at 11 a.m. It's going to be at Rebus. And it's $20 per person. And it's also an awful lot of fun, not to mention excellent food.
Mm-hmm.
Better food than I usually get. But anyway, much better than I ever get at home.
Gotcha.
And at 3 o'clock is the Seattle party, and that's going to be at EJ's
mm-hmm.
on that Sunday afternoon. So you get to eat brunch and then go to EJ's and start your more partying. And at 6 o'clock that evening, we're going to move it over to Mary's for the victory party. And that's hosted by the Dowagers. And that's... that benefits the travel fund.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then the next day, we all check into Betty Ford.
There you go.
Yes.
The other thing I wanted to mention, that I have been to enthronement-type functions in other cities and, you know, other organizations. And, you know, they go on and on and on and on and on.
Whole this different
one,
format. Yeah.
This is a whole different format.
At the Oscars.
There's no, you know, the others have like three sets and we've got two acts.
Exactly.
And it's got a cutoff time and, you know, you're not going to be there forever until you just don't care anymore.
Rather than having a zillion people walk in and,
yeah.
and be announced. And
yeah,
that's
nah.
the evening.
No.
We've changed it up, and
yes.
we want to provide the community with some incredible entertainment, and that is what we're going to do.
It's there's a huge focus on the entertainment and less focus on the pomp
exactly.
and circumstance.
One of the incredible folks who I hope will be one of the mainliners, and that is going to be the winner of this year's Space City Idol.
Idol
yes.
contest. Yeah.
And we are down to the final two, and that will be determined this coming Wednesday
mm-hmm.
at Mary's Naturally, starting at about 9 o'clock. And they are two incredible individuals,
yes,
and that being Craig Farrell,
mm-hmm.
as well as a phenomenal, phenomenal drag queen, Crystal Towers.
That girl is tall.
And let me tell you, not only is she tall, she is darn talented.
Oh, my God,
she puts on that red dress and
one,
I get scared.
This last one when she did the two numbers
oh, you missed
from
her tonight.
Phantom of the Opera. Oh, my God.
She is flawless.
And her beaded fringe.
It was quiet as a mouse at Mary's. Every single person in the place was focused on her during that number.
Yeah. It was amazing.
No slurping noises?
No.
No,
no
slurping.
Nobody
on their knees?
No.
Nothing.
No.
It was amazing.
Darn.
Wow. Yeah.
And they all were on their feet when it was over.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I would
yes.
like to thank Chanel tonight for mm-hmm. allowing me to sit in her chair with the Emperor-elect. I'm certainly glad I don't have to fill her shoes all year, but I don't mind filling her chair this evening.
Ah, okay.
So.
Well, have a good time. I'll be there with you, of course, and be reporting.
You need a wake-up call?
when doesn't he?
How long have you
that's
known him?
That's true. This woman knows me. But we've got the transgender segment here.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, I saw, yes.
Great.
So I know we're going to have a good time next week, and I urge everyone out there who wants to have a good time, how can they get a ticket?
Jeff. How can they get a ticket? I bet he didn't bring that.
How can they get a ticket?
Yes.
They can call me
really
at this
easy.
Point, not get Jeff. Not what?
Oh, they can. Email.
Oh, that's right.
Jeff at
CarterWallace.net.
Or they can simply show up Saturday evening at 6 o'clock at the Crown Plaza downtown.
Yeah.
And purchase their ticket there.
Or stop by Mary's Wednesday night.
They can stop by Mary's Wednesday night. Tickets can be purchased either in cash, check, or major credit card.
Mm-hmm.
Great. You're good.
Great.
There you go.
It's
going to
be a wonderful, wonderful one.
Oh, it's going to be fabulous.
No food stamps.
No, sorry. No. Okay, thank you for being here.
And, thank you.
We certainly are going to continue having the court report once a month from ICOH right here live on After Hours. I don't care who you get to do it, but seems to be working fine tonight.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Before we bring in the transgender segment, I've got a little song to play. It's from a relatively new CD. TG Music Society has their first compilation out, and the last one on here is just my very best favorite. It's called "And Where Is the Body" by DJ Luna. You're listening to it on After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM.
Ready or not, here comes Mama.
And where is the body? Freak. Pop subculture freak.
Fan the flames of desire.
Enormous amount of pleasure. Enormous amount of pleasure. Enormous amount of pleasure. Enormous amount of pleasure.
There we go. That always helps. That
usually does.
And Where is the Body by DJ Luna? That's off of the TG Music Society compilation. Volume 1. And we do have a transgender segment this evening.
That's
Kristen
right.
Williams is here.
Hello.
Kristen is heading up the transgender segment, which is the second Friday night of actually Saturday. We start actually on Saturday. And but, you know, if you haven't been to sleep, then it's still Friday night, right? There you go. And so it would be the second Saturday, the second Friday, you know. Whatever.
It's taken me a while to figure out when it is.
Oh, hell, it's taken me a while. You know, when we were on at midnight, you didn't have to think about it.
Right.
It was midnight Saturday, you know, and now you have to think, you know, you got these two-day things going. And you have our guest with you.
Well, Carolyn, she's actually my coworker,
mm-hmm.
and... you know, we're like attached at the hip everywhere we go. You know, any kind of transgender thing, it's, you know, she's there.
Cool.
And, I don't know, say hi.
Hi.
Hi, Carolyn. Welcome to After Hours.
Thank you.
And we have Kim, who has been filling
Hello.
In the last several months, or a couple of months, you know. Yes, and...
Yes, it's on.
Yes.
It is on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I can't hear myself in the headphones.
Okay. You have individual dials.
I know. I can hear you, but I can't hear myself.
Okay.
Oh, there it is.
There you go.
Sorry.
Wait a minute. Wrong one there. Got to watch those wires. Kim looks very different here lately. Because Jim had to get Kim had to get employment.
Yes.
And so that meant changing a few things.
Yeah, like not being able to be female for a while.
Yeah.
Which really sucks.
It's a huge that's problem. A showstopper right there.
I was just waiting for Jimmy to make a comment.
No, because I don't think it's unique to you.
Yeah.
No, it's a huge problem in our community.
Of course it is. Yes.
Yeah, huge. I know plenty of, there's a couple of people I worked with out in Arizona that had the same problem. They couldn't be females at work because the company didn't agree with it.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to lose their jobs because, as I'm finding out now, it's very hard to find one.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, I had this little project going on for a few years that just, you know, that I was collecting little tidbits of information about transgender history because
mm-hmm.
I just kind of think it's interesting.
Oh, and... you know, that's why I'm involved with GCAM, the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender History.
Yeah.
Because if you have a history, you do not have to recreate yourself every generation.
That's right.
There you go.
You know that you come from somewhere, and you know something about people like you.
That's right, yeah. You know, the first thing that I ever heard about transgender anything, actually transsexual sex change,
mm-hmm.
was, of course, Christine Jorgensen.
Right.
I thought that was the first person ever to do something
like
that.
Wow, not by a long shot.
Well, I don't know if you listened to the show when I was doing it, but I mentioned that my mother, who used to be my father, is Rose Wall.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I know Rose.
Everybody knows Rose.
Of course everybody knows Rose. They all know Pego, too.
Yeah.
I mean, those two are attached to the hip as well.
Yeah.
I love them both, though.
Wow. So, when did you start to transition?
I tried to start when I came back to Texas, but with trying to get a job and everything, it hasn't worked out too well.
Uh-huh.
And the college I was going to didn't agree with being transgendered while in college, so I couldn't do that either. I won't mention the college name because it's a really good college, and they've got really good teachers and everything, and I don't want to put them down. It's just the policy that was set down when the college was founded was that any transitioning transgender who's not had any surgeries or cannot, how do I put this, has not started hormone treatments,
uh-huh.
they won't allow you to be female at school.
So, okay. Well, I thought I had put together kind of a little thing about this day in TG history for October. I'm going to actually need some help pronouncing some of these names. my Spanish sucks.
Ooh.
Just letting you know.
Habla español.
No. a couple of days ago, October 5th, 1513, a Spanish conquistador.
Vasco Nunes de la Balabola.
There you go. Discovered what he claimed to be a colony of cross-dressing males in present-day Panama. He massacred them, of course.
Of course, yes. That's the thing to do when you find a transgendered person.
Yes, of course, Matt. Actually, he wound up feeding them to his dogs. So, yeah. And the next day, but in 1968, 12 people in Los Angeles gathered for the first service of the Metropolitan Community Church. Reverend Troy Perry founded the church with primary outreach to the GLBT community.
Yay.
He was a huge supporter of the transgender community out there.
Cool.
And on the 10th, a few days from now, in 1915, Jenny Hodgers, a female-to-male transgender, a.k.a. Albert D.J. Cashier, died. After serving with the Union Army and living the rest of his life as a man, his physical sex was discovered during a illness. And, you know, going through this, before the show, I was thinking, oh, my God, transgender history, like, is really depressing.
Bleak.
Hugely
so sad.
Yes.
It's not much better than what
all of us, our past history is really sad, up until the last 10, 20 years, really.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you saw it on the news, but a while back, there's a really famous female tennis player that's a transgender.
Renee Richards?
Right. And she was actually against a transgender golf player playing professional golf.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe that. I mean, she's one of us. Why should she try and put us...
Well, you know...
We're not all perfect.
That's another subject I have an opinion on, but... So what happened to this female to male was that his physical sex was discovered. And, of course, what they did to you back then was they immediately committed him to the Waterton State Hospital for the Insane, where he was forced to wear a dress and then lived only two more years before he died. But he was whenever he died, he was buried with full military honors.
I guess that made up for the dress.
Yes, I guess so. And on the 12th of this month in 1896... the play called A Flora, Florida Enchantment, that's what it was reviewed by the New York Times. Some of the characters swallowed these magic seeds which transformed them into members of the opposite sex. Well, the New York Times described it as vile, stupid, and the worst play that was ever produced. So,
sounds like making a news movie.
Yeah. Okay, 1896 and 1915.
I guess they hadn't seen the musical version of Gone with the Wind.
No.
Yeah.
That was really awful.
And on the 17th in 1998, Melinda Whiteway was appointed co-chair to the National Lesbian and Gay Law Association, making her the first self-identified transgender person to co-chair a national gay and lesbian organization.
And on the 19th of this month in 1996, representatives from the American Psychiatric Association met with approximately 50 transgender activists who voiced their concern about reforming the diagnosis of GID, gender identity disorder.
You know what? I've run into a couple of them psychologist people.
Mm-hmm.
They're so mean.
Oh, well, some of them can be. Some of them are on power trips. But if you're lucky, you can run across one that's, you know, has their act together and knows a little bit about transgender.
We need to get some transgenders doing that for a living. Then we'd really have it nice.
Well,
do you know we are?
Yeah,
we are.
Actually.
Yeah, we are. We have a couple in school and mm-hmm. trying to become.
Well, see, I'm going to become a medical assistant, and I want to try and get into radiology, which mm-hmm. what I've researched is they're not really. Gays are okay there, but they don't really like lesbians or transgenders in that field, from what I hear.
They don't like lesbians?
Well, what it is radiology is more of a male-dominated type of work, and they don't really agree with females or transgenders because of the radiation and its chivalrism. And
does this mean that MTFs would be okay, but...
Actually, we know female to male.
Female to male
actually,
would be okay.
Actually, those would probably wouldn't care all that much.
He did pretty good.
Yeah.
But actually, the thing I realized is at my school, the majority of the people going in for a medical assisting degree in every aspect of it, including radiology, at least two-thirds of the entire school is GLBT.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Which shocked me because I'd been there for a month before I found out.
Because GLBT people are really intelligent.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that. It's the fact that we really want to help
over the world.
We really want to help people, and one way to do that is in the medical field or law enforcement, firefighting, anything dealing with saving lives.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really strange is I was actually the only transgender in the school.
Well, I know what that's like, actually. And let's see, in 1999, on the 19th, a Canadian lesbian organization was ordered to pay over $2,000 in damages for banning transgendered people from its drop-in center. Also on the 19th, in 1945, a really famous drag queen was born, Divine. And that on the 19th, that's her birthday, 1945. And on the 21st, in 1939, New York, the police raided a masked drag ball and arrested 99 men that were charged with masquerading as females. And on the 23rd, in 1993, in Montana, the state Supreme Court ruled that transvesticism is not a sufficient reason to deny a father joint custody of his three-year-old child. On the 25th, in 1783, at West Point, Deborah Simpson was honorably discharged from the Massachusetts Regiment. She had passed as a man for almost 1.5 years and formed attachments with several women. She later married a man and received a military pension.
Okay.
Yeah. On the 26th of this month, police raided a drag bar in New York. In 1962, dozens were arrested and charged with indecent exposure. In 1990, on the 26th, a U.S. Army colonel was discharged and sentenced to 90 days in Leavenworth for appearing in drag at an AIDS benefit and kissing another man. Yeah, that's pretty bad. And on the 29th of this month, in 1995, in Iran, a 31-year-old man was convicted of, and this was the charge, ugly and improper conduct.
It's the ugly part that bothers me.
And sentenced to 20 lashes for cross-dressing. And there you go. That's this month in transgender history. Sad, bleak.
Sad, bleak.
Oh, my, my, my.
I hate to know what happened on my birthday.
So, you know, actually, this is like the first time that I've ever met you. And I think it's so interesting that, you know, your father.
Well, it's mother now.
Who is now your mother.
She still has the last surgery, but other than that, she's legally female now, so.
is, you know, and then you're transitioning also.
Right. Well, what it was is when I was younger, I was curious about it when Rose told me what she was going to do, and she got me some clothing and a couple of things, and we tried it. We both went out. And since then, I'd been researching it, and I've had Rose ask me out so many times, am I sure this is what I want to do? And it is. I mean, I actually went on websites. I watched videos about watching people have the surgery done. Mm-hmm. I know how much it's going to cost. I know how long it's going to take. I know what it requires. The only thing is I have to get the money together to do it.
Sure.
So, I mean,
you can do it then. I scrub toilets for a living to do it, so. And you'll never believe how many toilets you have to scrub to get a surgery.
I've researched something that's actually been really interesting, is the fact that people in the medical field who want to transition can actually, there's some hospital companies and corporations that will actually pay for the surgery under insurance. That was a small reason I wanted to get in the medical field. The other reason is I'm actually a third generation. My mother, my grandmother, and my aunt are all RNs. And what's really interesting is my entire family is GLBT, because my mom, my biological mother's a lesbian. My sister and her husband are both bisexuals and in a poly relationship with another couple.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, they say that there isn't like a genetic predisposition.
Want to bet they should look at my family.
Yeah, I know. Right. Actually, I went to this meeting in Galveston with transgender folks, and they had a set of twins. One was going one way, one was going the other way. It's very interesting. You know.
Well, going into the medical field, I've learned a lot of stuff, and one thing that I've started to do is do a lot of research when it comes to genetics, and I've begun to realize that there's some research going on right now that actually has proven on numerous occasions on some of their surveys and tests that they've been doing that there is at least half the transgenders have a genetic disposition to be that way because of the time in the womb when they were when they changed from one sex to the other. And I've checked on this, and what it is most transgenders that feel they aren't in the right body, but they know that they're supposed to be the other way, what happened is the ones they found that came from negative backgrounds, like violent parental relationships during pregnancy, is a protection mechanism, which can be found in most mammals. The mother will change the sex of the child to protect it. And they found that is actually, at least half of the people, is what's happening to them. Is they were meant to be one way, but by the time it came that they became the other opposite sex, they had already developed certain parts of their body, like the brain, that was already the sex they were meant to be. So you have men walking around with female brains. Sorry.
Wow.
Jabbering.
No, actually, no. I hadn't heard that one yet. I'd heard something similar where they did a study of Jewish families and after the Holocaust, because there was a really huge, noticeable spike in you know, homosexuality in the children of survivors of the Holocaust, and they followed what the stress hormones would do and how that could possibly, maybe, of course, be linked to, you know, genetic predispositions to different sexual preferences.
Well, I stumbled across this research actually in a very, very funny way. I actually was researching gender genetics through animals, and I was looking up on the internet, and suddenly I saw this site for human transgenetic research, and I was like, okay. So I went on there, and they started explaining the fact that because we are mammals, we have the same things happen to us that happens to most mammals. A mother lion who's going to have cubs, and the male lion that is their father dies and another lion comes in, she will change the sex of the lions to male or female depending on how aggressive the other male lion is to save them from being killed when they're born.
Well, I know that there's really interesting studies on the basal nuclei of the hypothalamus you know, studying that size as it relates to gender expression. However,
actually, I think we talked about that, didn't we? I think on one of the other shows I did.
I need to jump in here and remind folks that they are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston.
Hey, Jimmy, we were talking about history a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was curious, how did the transgender segment of this radio show get started?
It started... the whole idea of having guest hosts started soon after I became the producer in 1991. And I looked around for people I knew to do segments on, you know, leather and gay and lesbian and stuff. And then I had a very good friend who I loved very much, who got out of a really horrible relationship in a marriage. And I just knew that he was bi. And so I was, you know, kind of pushing him in that direction. He was not exactly fighting it, but not exactly embracing it either. And got him involved with BiNet. And but he wouldn't go unless I went with him. So he and I both went to, you know, our first BiNet meeting. And all of a sudden, I found myself surrounded by bisexual people. And after the meeting, it hit me. It's like, why don't I have a bisexual segment on the show? And then, then exactly right after that was why don't I have a transgender segment? You know, we talk about gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender, but, you know, we only give lip service to the B's and the T's of the GLBT.
Yeah, and now you have a poly segment with Gigi.
Yeah, exactly. And Pagan, you know, whatever. But, and Gigi was the one who was running the BiNet meeting then.
Mm-hmm. And wasn't Pagan involved in that at that time?
Yes. Yes, also.
Right.
And that's how I met Peko.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the only... I really didn't know any transgenders except for Phyllis,
mm-hmm,
and Jackie Thorne.
Okay.
Because both had come to the gay and lesbian switchboard.
Speaking of,
done talks. And so... I talked with Phyllis, and she said, well, you know, I'm involved in this and that and the other, but I know Sarah DePalma.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the other hosts had invited Sarah on, mm-hmm, one night, and that host didn't show up, but Sarah did. So I ended up talking to Sarah, and she was such a natural that I offered her the segment on the spot, and that was about 93 or 94.
Wow. Oh, my God. Yeah. And, you know, how I came to the Houston transgender community was, mm-hmm, actually through this show. I heard you guys picked up this really weak signal way on in Galveston Island. I would hold my radio up in the air, running around the apartment trying to find the signal again. So anything that's happened to me thus far, I lay at the feet of Jimmy. It's his fault.
I actually wouldn't have gotten involved with this if Jimmy hadn't had anybody to do it, and he asked me if I wanted to.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, so I dragged my friend Robin on it with me as a co-host.
Yeah. Now, we were just talking about Jackie Thorne, and Jackie, mm-hmm, Thorne just happened to walk in.
Just have appeared.
Have a seat, Jackie. Okay. We don't see you often enough on this show anymore.
Oh.
Is there not enough chairs in there? Or what?
Four chairs, and they're all full.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I lost my train of thought. I think I was busy blaming you for everything that's ever happened to me in this community. I think that's where I was, yeah.
See, I have somebody better to blame. That would be my mother.
Well,
Hello.
No, but I, you know, with all of us, like with the listeners, it was a learn as you go routine, because the very first thing I said to Sarah De Palma, and you know, I had really did not except for listening to Phyllis and to Jackie at meetings. The first thing I said to her, and she will never forgive me for it or for let me forget it, was, "Gee, you don't look like a man in a dress." And I said that, I thought I was paying a compliment. I really did.
Oh my God, I would love to have had that on tape.
Sarah was very, she didn't let me know on air the boo-boo I made, but just went with it. And
trust me, if Sarah didn't rip your head off, Lori would have.
Yeah, I know, but.
Well, it can't be half as bad as the comment I got from a guy I was dating once. He came to the apartment. We'd never seen each other in person, and he opened the door. He said, "I'm sorry, I have the wrong apartment." he didn't realize that it was me standing there, and we ended up having a really good night. And it's amazing how easy it is to become the opposite sex if you know how to do it. And
well, yeah, I think if you have the kind of the innate
plus it helps being a second generation, you know, you kind of get that ability.
I don't know. It was pretty horrendous for me, you know. That was what I was curious about too. Is since you have a parent that's trans and that's going through this process, how is it for you? I mean,
it's different. I talked about this on the last show I did. What it is with me, instead of having parents that don't understand and mm-hmm. or understand but don't want to talk to me or understand, willing to talk to me and are okay with it, I have to deal with a transgendered parent
mm-hmm.
who wants to make sure this is what I'm doing, so she keeps going at me all the time to verify it.
And you're damn lucky she does.
Yes, mm-hmm. I am. And I thank her very much for it.
I didn't mean that to be mean, but
well,
I mean...
No, and I don't say anything against Rose to be mean. It's just that sometimes she can be a little annoying.
But
most parents are.
But no, the other side is that I think we're seeing young teens wanting to have the SRS... And, you know, maybe that's a little early. Maybe they really ought to think about all of this and the implications. And is this really what you want to do? Is this really where you want to go? Because just as, you know, maybe sex is... We have this arbitrary age for when you can have sex and when you can't. Now, I know some 13-year-old people who are, you know, they should have sex. I know some 25-year-old people who shouldn't, you know. They're too young. 25-year-olds are too young to be having sex. But you know what I mean.
Right,
though.
I've run into a couple of them.
Yes, and I think that really we should be questioned.
The thing about it is, though, Jimmy, in the last 5 years, the internet has provided so much information about transgender that was never there before. And so as a consequence, the younger people who have a feeling that mm-hmm. they are transgendered are finally getting the information that they need to understand who and what they are. And I think that's probably part of the problem that has not been available in the past. And now these male to female or female to male
mm-hmm.
Transgenders, whether they be transsexual or not, really are learning who and what they are, and this has not been available to them in the past.
I know, I know. And sometimes I forget. You and I come from an age where not only did we not have the internet, we didn't even have literature. We had
well, Jimmy. You
we
guys were frozen with you guys.
There was nothing.
You
absolutely
know,
nothing.
And oh. And you, I want to just make sure everyone knows about the best transgender website in Houston.
Yes.
And that's called TransHouston.com.
Hmm.
TransHouston.com. It's full of resource information, great forum, free HIV testing, free support groups, free medications, HRT, medical advice. Everything's there. So if you... Talking about the internet and resources being right at your fingertips. We're Houston, there it is.
But, you know, this is also something you shouldn't just go about like riding a bike or something. This is something you should do with the help of friends, family, and a therapist.
Right. And,
I believe, because that's truly important. This isn't something you just decide to wake up and go outside and be a transgendered woman or male one day and expect that the whole world's just going to accept you, because sometimes they don't.
Well, to finish answering your question...
You know, this is the thing I have said in the past. You know, it's something that is internal, because you know, you don't suddenly wake up one morning and say, gee, I think I'm going to put on a dress. You know, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
It's something that's part of you.
You're going to say?
Well, to finish answering a question, the major difference with my family situation is that I do have that support, not just from Rose, but from Pam, my mother as well. I mean, I get support from my sister and her husband. I get support from friends that I've made through them. And it's you know, I met Jimmy by coming to the radio station to help Gigi.
And that's truly important if you're going to truly go and transition, because this is not something you just do lightly, is run off and have parts removed or tucked or pucked or
added. And for God's sake, stay away from the silicone injections.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Well, the one thing that's been most supportive is my friend Robin, who I actually share rent on an apartment with, and the most supportive thing is she keeps threatening to get me dressed up and take me out.
the thing about it is, though, you know, if family is supportive, that is critical. You know, we have friends, you know, and who will support us, but family is family. And, you know, and if you have family who understands or at least are willing to listen to what you have to say, that is probably more important than anything else.
But a lot of us end up with extended families.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about blood family.
Yes, but sometimes we don't get that luxury of having a blood family that understands us, so we have to rely on extended family, because, you know, we do need that support system.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, my thing is, if I went any further besides my immediate family, the rest of my family is not okay with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just my immediate family that understands. And it's kind of hard for me to go to visit my grandparents for Christmas because most of them have begun to accept Rose. But when it comes to me, they have a problem with me doing it as well. And it's just, there's a lot of hassle, and I miss being with my family at Christmas.
My grandmother still calls me he and him. You know, that's you know, I think that's kind of a common experience. You know, what's interesting is I'm curious to know, you know, for perhaps Jackie, I know certainly for myself, and I know for Carolyn, fear, shame, and guilt were huge issues. Crippling issues for us to deal with. And because, you know, you can turn on the TV and you have the, you know, the negative stereotypes played out in media, but every once in a while you'll see a real transgender person, you know, portrayed in a positive light, a human light, not something that's sensationalized. You know, that wasn't around whenever I was a child. You know, there's lots of literature, and as we were talking about, there's the internet. none of that was around. Even whenever I started to transition, I didn't have a computer. I didn't know how to get on the internet. You know, I heard some people talk about it, but, you know, I was really, really kind of on my own, and it was really, really scary. And the amount of shame and guilt that I carried was crippling, and it truly had the power to kill, you know. And whenever I first came to this community, every year I would lose a friend to suicide. And I've noticed, it seems like in the past maybe 3 years or so, I really haven't known anyone that I could point to exactly that has committed suicide because of the difficulties in transitioning.
I can actually help you with that. Because of my age, I'm 22, and I have met, and I have friends out in Arizona that are young transgenders, my age and younger. And what it is a lot of the fear and shame and guilt has actually changed to anger at the most of companies and everything about not allowing us to do this. Fear of rejection has been a big thing. And then the major point in all of this for most of us is the fact that because we see the older generation that's stuck around, the ones that have made it through and that have completed it, we actually draw strength from y'all because now we see, okay, it can be done. And though it may not be as hard for us as them, we still have to deal with a lot more problems because the internet's good, but there's also bad things about the internet because there's numerous sites to help transgenders, but there's twice as many that are against transgenders. Mm-hmm. And the thing is if you type in transgendered on a search engine, it'll give you both.
Mm-hmm.
And going through this, you may hit about 20 sites that tell somebody you shouldn't do it before you hit one that tells you you should.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is we have to deal with the fact that though the internet helps us get information, we also have to sit down and be patient and work through it all to get the correct information.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a plus side. The show that we're doing right now, there is Dr. Phil and numerous other talk show hosts have had this subject up once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
Although I will not mention Jerry Springer because that's not a talk show.
No, what I'm curious about is, you know, whenever I started to transition, you know, just that absolute feeling of being isolated and alone, and you know, as you were saying, that it isn't so much fear, shame, and guilt. It's anger about not being able to do what you need to do. You know, is it your perception as, you know, kind of the newer generation that in our culture, as our society, that's becoming more mature and therefore more accepting of transgendered expression, gender expressions that don't fit really the norm? Or is it that there's just simply more information?
Well, actually, it's a little of each and a lot of neither. What I've noticed, and I have done a lot of searching on this because there was a point where I was afraid to let anybody know about myself because there have been living situations. I've been in mental hospitals where it's not really allowed or it's very frowned on if you mention it or you'll just end up staying there longer. But the major problem that I see nowadays is the fact that most straight men and women, depending on age, I hate to say it, but racial background, financial background, what kind of living situation they grew up in, a lot of the younger generation is actually becoming gender neutral in clothing styles, in body language, the type of stuff they do for fun. So it's becoming, I wouldn't say accepted, because the transgenders of my age and younger, we still get the hate from our generation that we would if we were an older generation. But what it is, it's the fact that most people don't realize what we are because we have an easier time blending in with the rest of our generation.
Because of
the fact of the type of clothing they're wearing nowadays, everything seems to be a little baggy, so that gender is now neutralized slightly. Even when it comes to the supermodel types, like the cheerleaders and football players and stuff like that. Even then, I mean, there's a majority of young high school football players who are gay. And it's becoming to a point where the gay and lesbian community is more accepted in our generation, and there's actually not that much against them. But the fact of going from one sex to the other is still frowned upon because the men look at you like you're not, well, how do I put it? Somebody told me one day the reason that men don't like transgenders in our age range is because we're cutting off something that they love to use. Mm-hmm. And the women don't like it for the same reason.
But you're not cutting it off.
No.
Right. And see, that's the
it's
problem.
Rather a tuck than a cut off.
Yeah. And see, that's the problem, is those that aren't of the GLBT community in my generation don't know this. They think it's just being sliced off.
Even if they did know, it wouldn't make any difference because what
not true, Jimmy. I've met people and I've explained what actually goes on, and mm-hmm. they've actually become more accepting about it because then they realize, okay, so it's not going away completely. That was what there's a numerous people in my generation that their major fear of the males is that it's being cut off.
Well, some of it
right. But the thing is,
bits and pieces.
When I've explained to some of them what actually happens, they begin to understand. Okay, wait a minute. This is more in depth than I thought it was, and they actually sit and they think about it for a second before they make a judgment on it.
I don't know. I think it's more the psychological thing of being a person with a penis and a person without a penis. Uh-huh. And to straight men, those are two different classes mm-hmm. of people. And one is the A class, and the other is the Z class.
Oh, we're well, wrapping up, right?
Not necessarily. Okay. That meant, did you want to take a break?
Oh, okay. I thought those were booby signs that you were making.
No, that's the
headlight.
This means take a break.
Okay.
This means wrap it up. Sorry.
Jimmy with the very interesting hand signals.
Stretch.
And then there's stress. Yes.
Are these things you use in the bedroom there, Jimmy?
No. Oh, no. No, because I have a piece of music that I wanted to play. Because it's my very favorite piece of music by my favorite transgender artist, Veronica Klaus, who only has put out one CD, and I don't know why, because she's incredibly talented. It's her CD called All I Want, and the name of the song is Blind Hearts and Knowing Glances. People who know me know that that's the one I like. So, you're hearing it on After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on KPFT Houston. We'll be right back.
Close my eyes without knowing where. Are we back? You guys on?
No.
Yeah. Hello.
Jimmy, come back to the studio.
Well, oh, now I'm in control of the board.
Uh-oh. Lock the door, quick.
I told you we were going to take over the world.
So what the hell, what were we talking about? We were talking about
surgeries and things like that, and what people thought and what males thought, you know,
well,
about.
Actually, I'd like to bring up what you and I were talking about during the song.
Okay.
I figured that actually is a good subject, because there is a good majority of transgenders that think you do have to go from A to Z.
Yes, some people do believe that it's all black and white, that you have to be at one end or the other. And I don't. I think it's like normal life, that everything's in shades of gray.
Well, see, and the other thing that I find most interesting is there's actually, I'm not sure what their actual title is, but they basically do theories about the future. And when it comes to sexual identity, they've actually done calculations and realized that it's a good possibility that most of the people in the future will be able to be both sexes at once.
I don't know if I'd want that, because I kind of like men, so
well,
I,
no,
don't.
What,
I don't
what?
Want my men to be both sexes.
No,
I
no,
want
no.
him to be one.
What they were talking about is that there would be men with male genitalia, but then there would be men with vaginas. And then there'd be females with penises, and then females, straight females. And we'd actually end up having four
sexes. Okay, right. I like totally missed this.
But no. The whole subject was that it's not important how far you go. Just because some of us, and I was one that chose to go all the way and have surgery, that doesn't mean everybody should, or it's right for everybody, or everybody is going to want to go that far. Some people want to keep certain parts and enjoy those parts, and that's all okay, because it's all okay.
It's an individual thing.
Yeah,
and you know,
yeah.
I know of a couple that have been married for a long time, and he transitions, and but the wife just doesn't want that to happen for some reason. You know, and it's her decision, and they have decided that that's okay. There are some transgendered women who maybe came out later in life, mm-hmm. and they've decided that it really isn't necessary, because, you know, it's on the ID, mm-hmm. gender has been changed on all information, and
right.
and that is enough.
Yeah.
Well, see, mm-hmm. like,
there are others, though, well, that even if they come out later in life, they don't want to die with the genitals that they were
right.
born with.
And I think one thing that's really important is I've noticed in this community there seems to be this hierarchy of transgender expression, where I've noticed it seems like in the community, you know, it's kind of like transvestites way at the bottom, transsexuals way at the top, and if you want to be cooler somehow in the gender spectrum, you know, you take hormones or you do this other stuff. I've just noticed that. And
see, your community has become so large now that you're specializing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like gay men and lesbians. If you're in a very small town, there's one gay bar and everybody goes to it. And when you get to the larger towns, then the gay bars specialize.
Bars,
yes,
and everything.
Right, right.
Yeah, I know.
Well, what we need to do is actually, with what I know in my generation and the transgenders that I've met, is we actually split ourselves up into separate groups completely. And that's part of the reason I have a little trouble connecting with my mother on this level, is because technically, according to my generation, she's in a different group. She's actually a transgender that's going to complete the process.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and you know, Carolyn and I work for a clinic, and what we do is we work with the transgender community, and one thing that we always talk about with our clients is to make sure that they're not doing this for some sort of
reason other than this is absolutely what you really need to do. Not because, you know, your friends told you you need to do this, not because, you know, you want to get more boys, or not because, you know, for whatever mm-hmm. reason, that it's okay. You can give yourself permission to, you know, stop at any point. At any point you feel comfortable and that feels right for you, that's fine.
And see, I learned on... Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And that's actually where Rose and I diverge greatly, is the fact that she has told me that if I'm going to do this, I have to go all the way. And for some reason, that just never felt right to me. And I just never really agreed with it. And to her, I'll say, yeah, okay, I'll do that. But to myself, I... For some reason, with my friends and I and... I've started to realize that I may not complete the entire process, but I do realize this is the direction I want to go. I'm just not quite sure where it's going to end.
Right. For me, I had to. I had to. I was going to, you know, cut it off myself.
Yeah, me too. But I learned early on and very quick that this will and has never changed anything other than a vision problem that I had. When I looked in the mirror, I wanted to see a female, not a male. I now look in the mirror and see a female, not a male. It fixed that. I'm still kind of a crazy, not very sane person. So it didn't fix any of that. So it's not a cure-all.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
and
actually,
that's...
I think you two could help me with something then. I've gotten to a point where I need to talk to other transgenders about this. And I can't talk to my mother, because like I said, she and I diverge too much. But my question is the fact that when I see myself, when I look in the mirror and I think of how I want to look, I get a very basic reaction. I think of myself as a female down until I get to the crotch, when suddenly I see both sexes. And I know that I can't become both sexes. They haven't figured out a surgery for that yet, as far as I know. But it's just the fact that that's more of what I think of myself as I should be. And once again, I come to the problem of the fact that I can either go up to the point before I have that final surgery, or I can complete the process. But either way, I'm going to be missing something.
You know, there's a unique kind of balance that one has to strike within oneself. I mean, as far as this kind of, it's important to really think about and dissect and know where you're going. But it's another thing to, you know, think it into the ground. And, you know, someone called it analysis paralysis one time. You know, it's where, you know, you just kind of think about it. And the truth is, it's as simple as giving yourself permission to be yourself. Whenever you stop feeling like yourself, then you're doing something wrong.
This truly, truly is a journey. And how you feel today is not how you'll feel tomorrow. And how you feel tomorrow is not how you'll feel in a year. It changes constantly because you change constantly.
Okay, I have one more question. How do y'all feel about herbal hormones?
Well, you can really
a waste of time and a waste of money.
Well, there's some, there's a little bit of
that. And I don't mean the stuff that you go to GNC and buy. I mean, there's a place called the Magic Cauldron, and they have some books there. And I've actually acquired a set of herbs that is more powerful than anything that
it's not
can be
really
bought
going.
Away.
No,
they aren't.
It's not really going to do much for you at all. Possibly lower your DHT level. As if that's what you're looking for, beta-sitosterol is very good, but very expensive. And what that does is basically create the androgen insensitivity syndrome, which is an intersex condition in genetic or biological males. What it does is it stops the there's an enzyme that converts testosterone to DHT, which is responsible for all the secondary male sex characteristics. And without that enzyme, you don't get the secondary male characteristics like male pattern baldness, roughness of skin, deep foot, blah blah blah. And beta-sitosterol will block that. Like I said, it's very expensive, and if you're looking for that, actually a cheaper, more readily available method of doing that is HRT, which basically does the same thing.
Well, the reason I ask is my body's actually, about a year and a half ago, it started making female hormones on its own. Not enough to actually cause a major change or anything, but it has caused certain problems that I've had over the years to start acting up really bad. And I ended up in the hospital last year because it started affecting a back injury I had a couple of years ago. And my legs stopped working. But what I found is the fact that a lot of doctors have told me that if I did decide to do this, they'd suggested that I start doing the hormone therapies natural. Like the
black cohosh, blue cohosh, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And,
and they've told me that that would actually, because of what my body's doing on its own, it would actually smooth the transition if I started taking regular hormones.
I can tell you that if you take it in doses large enough to actually have an effect, you're going to ruin your system. Black cohosh, blue cohosh, taken in massive doses, is very poisonous. Also, licorice. A lot of people use licorice because it has some estrogenic properties.
Tofu.
You know, yeah, there you
eat
go.
A lot of tofu.
Tofu's,
yeah.
You know,
see, I can't remember the exact combination that I have, but actually none of those are on it.
Well, you know,
and a lot of the herbs that go into this are actually very hard to come by.
Yeah, it's probably, you know, it has some, there's different types of yams that can be used that have estrogenic properties. But again, in order to get the effect that you can get in one, like, orthotricycline pill, you would have to, like, consume 10 pounds of Mexican wild yam.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, if you're looking for something that's going to affect your body in a way that's going to suppress your testosterone and bring on secondary sex characteristics that are female, more female-oriented, that's going to be HRT. And there's pretty much nothing else other than HRT that's going to do that for anybody.
Yeah. Okay, another question I have is about...
The thing about it is, each and every person is an individual. And, you know, the hormones that your body secretes, this is one of the reasons that almost every transgender group that you talk to, every transgender site on the website that you talk to, they urge you to be under a doctor's care, because everybody is an individual. One person may need a certain level of hormone therapy. Another person may need another level of hormone therapy.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and this is why it is so critically important that you not go out on the street or whatever. Do it right. Go to a doctor, you know. Find, you know, if you can't find a doctor who understands or is knowledgeable about transgender issues, go find you another doctor who is, particularly your internist and stuff like it, because it is critical that, you know, that whatever hormone therapy you have must be set up for you as an individual.
The critical thing here is that we are willing to do very dangerous things to take hormones. Street hormones, inject brake fluid into our body to become females, because there are so many doctors that will not see us there. This is hugely expensive to do what we're doing. Mm-hmm. It's hugely expensive to go to endocrinologists, take hormones, see doctors, have surgeries, da 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 da. It's most people can't afford this, so they do dangerous things.
And the thing that I always try to stress, and truly, anyone who's starting transition, you know, take time to plan it out. You know,
and if I can say therapy, you cannot therapy, do this yes. alone. Therapy is very important. It's very important.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you all brought that up, because my next question, actually, I'm asking for those out there that I know that have tried this method, the breast enhancement pills.
Okay, doesn't work.
Doesn't.
Right, and what it is I've run into young kids my age and younger that are buying these things like crazy, and they're not doing anything, and they're getting frustrated.
Tell them to stand in the moonlight and wave their hands, and they'll get the same results.
You know, whenever I was 11 years old, I in the back of Global News Magazine, you know, that gossip rag, I found an ad for breast enlargement
that
cream.
That was a promotion for
I ordered that stuff and tried it, and you know what?
Yeah,
it didn't work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. There are so many people and organizations out there who are more than willing to take advantage of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Work through a doctor. It may be a little more expensive initially, but trust me, it will. You know, if that's your ultimate goal, you know. I was born and raised in Central America, in Panama. Everything was available there. I mean, you know, I could get whatever drugs, whatever, anything I wanted. And I took the attitude is, hey, this is the only body I have to get me through this life. I'm not going to fuck it up. You know, I'm going to do it right. And that's, if you're going to transition, that's what you need to do. You need to realize that, you know, hey, you don't have but one body. Don't screw it up. Do it right.
Well, so, you know, and going back to getting questions and answers, again, transhouston.com. If you want to know where
it's
you can
go.
It's
very informative.
Yeah.
It's very informative.
If you want to know how to get free hormones, it's there. If you want to know how to go to a doctor that's going to see you on a sliding scale basis, it's there.
And you can post a question also. If you have a question, you can post it to the site and get an answer.
There's a section where you can post questions to healthcare professionals with UTMB. And as most of you know, UTMB has started the second, I believe it was the second gender treatment program in America. And hold on first.
Write the website. We need you to write the website
down.
Yes, I need the website. Yeah, Houston. We should have just set it up. Transhouston.com.
TransHouston.com has a, you know, forum that's pretty active. It even has a dating site. You know?
Yeah.
It's got everything.
And we need more people on there.
Well, you got to pay the bills somehow.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, no one makes any money off of that.
It's, you know, this is a place where you can get information. Because there's a lot of people out there that think, oh, okay, I'm transgendered. You know, I need to go and do all this stuff.
And there's a lot of misinformation.
You know, there's a lot of us, you know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of people out there that's not what you need to do.
People think that hormones are going to change your voice and they're going to change your bone structure.
Happen.
And you're going to, hormones will only do so much.
Right.
But, you know.
Right. And,
it's still a wonderful thing.
And again, I really encourage people to forego the instant gratification of free-form silicone, quote unquote, silicone.
Dangerous
injections.
Dangerous. Oh, yeah.
Dangerous.
We've done several shows on that.
Dangerous.
It's just not good.
Actually, this is the first I've heard of it.
Well, you know, you can go get silicone and injected freeform into your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's not medical grade silicone. Mm-hmm. It's actually industrial lubricant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's injected freeform into your body. And it stays kind of put for a while, for a few years, and you get the instant gratification of, you know, over a 6 month period of time, you know, getting a large bust and hips and all this other stuff. What they don't tell you is that 15 years from now, it's all going to wind up in your ankles because it's not encapsulated in any sort of a bag.
I met a girl once who had ankles the size of my waist because all the silicone fell down. Yeah.
I don't know, just injecting silicone sounds
well, and ugh. And depending on your, you know, and depending on your immune system.
Yeah.
I mean, this stuff can kill you.
Yes, absolutely.
Literally. I mean, you
absolutely.
Know, it's floating around.
But
you know,
this
it's
is
not
how
encapsulated
desperate.
And stuff like
this
that.
Is how desperate we are to become women, that we are willing to do anything, kill ourselves. We're willing to die just to become a woman.
Exactly.
Well, it's not just that. There's also another aspect of our community I want to talk about that I have very rarely heard spoken of is the transgenders that to pay their way through the surgery will actually sell themselves.
Oh.
And the men that go for this, I mean, I'm not sure how that...
But you should know that. You couldn't get a job.
Okay. Well,
you couldn't get a job, so how do you get money?
No, no, no.
I'm not going to go that way.
The men who are attracted to transsexuals are...
They're looking for chicks with dicks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, see, is what they're looking for.
And the thing about it is they think, okay, this is a female, so I'm not gay.
Well, but do you know what? There was an instant where I honestly, seriously thought about it because I thought, well, how the heck am I going to come up with this money? We're talking, they were talking $20,000, $22,000. I thought, how am I going to come up with this money? I'm a housekeeper.
Yeah,
I scrub toilets for a living. For God's sakes, how am I going to come up with that money? So if my option is that I can sleep with a couple of people and they'll pay for my surgery, well, what am I going to do? What,
That's right.
It looks like easy money.
But the other side of the coin is there are transgendered women out there on the streets who have to be out there to eat.
Yes.
Because, not for the surgery, to eat because they cannot.
They have no other marketable skill.
It's very difficult. As you were saying, your experience with school was negative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was going to high school, the counselor told me that I needed to quit school because I was a transgender.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, I mean, school, it depends, I guess, on what kind of school you go to and, you know, where it's at.
Well, my thing, the reason I brought this up is not to talk about the women who do that, but to talk about, it's one thing to be a straight guy or a gay man who likes women with, well,
penises.
Yes. my brain's
phallic
kind of...
women.
Yes.
Thank
phallic
you.
Women.
I like that. And what it is it's one thing to go on a dating site and... or a magazine and look for these people and take them out on a date and then go back to their place for a little fun. It's a totally another thing for these people to who know they can go about it in a decent manner and meet some really nice people. Instead, they'll go up to the corner, pay $20 for a blowjob.
Because they do not want a relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They just want
it's just
sex.
Anonymous sex.
And most of the dating sites that have transgenders on it are just sex.
Well, here's the deal.
Well, unfortunate.
With transgender women, most transgender women will be willing to go further, do more, be more accessible for a lower price than just regular genetic women, because for the most part it's a hard market.
It's a smaller market.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there is something, I forget where I read this, but at least half of the prostitutes in the U.S. are transgendered.
No, not that high.
No, but there have been a study in Atlanta that surveyed the HIV status of transgenders who were also trading sex for money, and found that 70% were HIV positive.
Ooh, ouch.
That's a high number.
They did a similar study in Rome and found 80% were HIV positive.
No. Let me relate a a story that happened to me back when before they bulldozed the chicken coop at the corner of Stanford and Westheimer. I used to go over there, not for the sex aspect of it. They had a black DJ over there, the name of Washington, who played the greatest music. And I would go over there to dance and stuff. And I got to know a lot of the girls that worked out of the chicken coop. And after a period of time, they realized, one, that, I wasn't competition because I wasn't trying to hook up with someone. Secondly, I wasn't someone, I wasn't a trick, I wasn't looking for them. And thirdly, the way I was dressed, I wasn't gonna give them any crap. I got to know a lot of the girls over there, and I talked to one girl by the name of Angel, who was from the Valley. Little bitty, Hispanic queen. Absolutely gorgeous. And one evening I was over there, and I said to her, I said, Angel, when are you gonna have your surgery? And she said, what are you, out of your mind? And I said, what are you talking about? He said, if I had surgery, I'd lose half my clientele. And I said, huh? And she said, I make more money letting the Johns suck my dick than me having to suck them. As long as what they were looking at was a female, they could rationalize that they were not gay. And that's what part of the problem is. The plumbing is irrelevant. It is who a person feels that they are. And that's
funny because that's kind of the bisexual philosophy. You fall in love with the person and you work out the plumbing later.
Oh, yeah. And we have we've got like 5 minutes left on the show.
Yeah.
Is that it? Please remind me before the show ends, I have an announcement.
Yeah. My attitude is everybody, I don't give a damn who you are, but everybody has the capacity to be bisexual, given the right person and the right situation.
20 years ago, I would have fought you on that. But I've lived, in the meantime. And, yes, even me find myself from time to time attracted to the opposite sex.
Exactly.
And the most revealing part for me about myself was when I found myself attracted to a transgender woman. And at first I was it was scary. Like, what?
Well, I can really relate to you because I currently have a boyfriend.
Oh,
that's my own. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I have. Roommate knows about this.
You've got to realize you relate to the person. You don't, you don't relate
to
what they got between their legs.
And that's exactly right. It was all about the person. It was never about the plumbing. Yeah.
My roommate knows about this. I've mentioned it to her. But when I was out in Arizona, there was, there are places out there where you can go and watch movies in a theater. And one of the main reasons these places exist, as far as I'm concerned, is the fact of sexual meetings in these
places. Are you talking about adult movies?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
There are numerous.
Well, you got them here in Houston.
But there's about 3 or 4 times more out in Arizona.
Oh, okay.
And I go into one of these places because I helped with security at one of them. And one day I went in there, and I actually had a guy come up to me thinking I was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened, that's when I started realizing that maybe it wasn't such a strange idea for me to begin transition, because suddenly people are looking at me as a female. And since then, I've had it happen more often and more often. Then recently, when I moved back to Houston, I've run into groups where I tell them that's how I want to be treated, and suddenly that's how I'm treated.
Mm-hmm.
And I've begun to realize and become more accepting with my decision, because I wasn't sure it was okay until I started finding people that were okay with it, that understood, that would still be my friends and not just leave me lying in an alley.
Right.
Okay, time for your announcement.
Oh, no, I already did it. That was my announcement. That
oh.
I had a boyfriend.
Oh.
Miss Ironclad Lesbian, yes. Has a boyfriend.
Well, you know, going on to what you were saying is, how we present has a lot to do, and how comfortable we are with how we present has a lot to do with how we're accepted. And, you know, if all you're looking for is sex, hey, you know, you can find it. But if you want acceptance, you have to be yourself.
Yeah, you know, that, well, that's the key. You have to accept yourself.
Yes.
That's where it has to come from.
I have something funny that I think all of you would find interesting.
Okay, when I was in one minute.
When I was in the hospital last year, okay, I was in a hospital bed. I had a week's worth of a beard, which was very noticeable,
uh-huh.
and slightly long hair, and I had six people confuse me for a woman.
Even there.
The bearded woman was in the bed.
Well, no, it's not that. It's that I'm in plain light. The light's shining directly on me. People can see. And this one nurse walks up and says, "Hello, ma'am. How are you?" "Oh, I'm sorry." And I just looked at her and said, "You don't realize how much of a compliment you just gave me."
Well, you know, I think it's not just for GLBT people, but what we were just talking about. When you can look in the mirror and you see yourself and know yourself and are happy with what you see, mm-hmm. then you have made it as a human being.
Yes.
So, until next month... Thank you for being here.
Next month.
Well, oh, for okay. the transgender Whatever. Segment, yes. Mm. The second Saturday of the month. but Friday night is Friday night if you you know, if you don't sleep in the early hours, or late hours, or whatever. And we're going out with a song from Yolanda and the Plastic Family, Yolanda being transgendered. And that's not an easy thing being from New England, in New England states. So, this is called Angel, one of my favorite Yolanda songs, and you're listening to it on After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, and always on the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
We are angels. We are angels.
well, maybe you can see why that's my favorite, Yolanda and the Plastic Family song, Angels. And I failed to mention that the very beginning of the show, I played some new music by Daniel Link, Austin's own Daniel Link. He's been on this show, and he's played in Houston a couple of times. He has a brand new CD called The Color of Rain, and it's not only his longest CD ever. There's like, I think, 16 cuts on this. But it's one of his most serious ones. I started out with the first song called Evergreen, and now I want to play one that really, really struck me the very first time I heard it. And I tried to take those instincts to heart. When I hear a CD for the first time and songs just jump out at me, I know that they're going to be favorites. And this is a very important body of work from Daniel Link. This song is called Altar Boy.
Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. is man to spend things to myself.
Springfield, a much lesser known work by her from the Beautiful Soul CD, the Dunhill Collection, called Home to Myself. And I thought that went well after that new piece of new music by Daniel Link called Altar Boy. And we happen to have a poet in the house tonight for the After Hours Roundtable. Well, probably more than one. But David, I wanted to ask your opinion because I saw that you were listening to the Daniel Link number.
I was just going to say that I'm definitely going to have to get more into that because what I heard really sounds beautiful.
Yes.
And well presented and smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Daniel is a very, very profound songwriter.
Yeah,
because there's a beauty in his words as well as his music.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole CD has kind of obviously, he has been Catholic, and to me, he is, I don't know, it's a question of faith here.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's questioning a lot of things that...
Well, one thing I liked about it, from what I heard, was it's not overstated.
No.
You know, and I recently wrote something where I said, if you speak from the heart, it will be true no matter what comes of it. And that sounded like it was really true because it was from the heart.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought, too. Well, who do we have here tonight for the round table? I know we have David.
Yes, David. And?
Ozzy.
Hey, Ozzy.
Alfonso.
Robin.
And another David.
Yes. And another David. Okay, good.
I was saying earlier that in any crowd you can yell the name David, at least three or four people will turn their heads.
I think you're right about that. I do. Let's see. Anybody have anything they want to jump right in there with? Or
do you
need some lead-in?
I saw a movie last night that I rented that I really loved.
Yeah?
Which is called Beautiful Boxer. And it is the true story.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's a biography of a true person of a Thai kickboxer
who,
transvestite,
yes.
Eventual transsexual.
Yes.
Well done, beautifully told. Incredible movie.
I remember.
I don't want to tell too much of the plot.
No,
to give
I
it
remember.
Away, but
well,
it's great.
Yeah, it's true. And for the Thai people, kickboxing is like the highest sport.
Mm-hmm.
The highest form of
yes.
sport.
It's a national treasure.
And to have one of the heroes of kickboxing to be a man who eventually transitions into a woman, normally that would have been looked down upon.
And nobody wanted to be, you know, get their butt kicked by transsexual,
exactly,
transvestite. And so
exactly.
they would really go at it, and then he was so great, mm-hmm. she was so great, that she'd just annihilate them. And one thing I will tell from the movie is after they'd be annihilated, he'd go over and kiss them on the cheek, and there would be lipstick print. And the voiceover says, "What they didn't know that I was apologizing for having to hurt a stranger." So, I mean, just this tender-hearted, you know.
And what's so amazing about
the
transition process is mm-hmm. that if a male is taking female hormones, estrogen, mm-hmm. the person loses strength.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that was a problem, but he still managed to win.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I couldn't recommend it more strongly. It's the real Rocky story, because it's about a real person. It's
yes.
not fiction. Mm-hmm. And what I love about it, it's the real Rocky story, and it would just mess so divinely with the people who love the Rocky, a lot of the people who really love the Rocky movie.
Yeah, no kidding. I didn't realize that was out for rent yet.
Yes, they have it at Cactus. I don't know if we're allowed to do plugs, but
yeah, oh yeah, we just can't. We can do that. We can tell where we got it from.
Yeah.
We can't. We couldn't talk about Cactus every week.
Yeah,
and we can't talk about how much the rental is.
And I bet you they have it at Hollywood. I would imagine.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, yeah. But
that's great.
Yeah.
Anybody else? No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Let's see. Since I'm about the oldest person here. There was an article, short article in TXT this week, that the Counseling Center receives a $400,000 grant for programming, a program serving GLBT seniors.
Wow.
Yes, and it's about time.
Mm-hmm.
A $400,000 grant has been awarded to the Montrose Counseling Center by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. The grant will focus on peer outreach, peer counseling and education, counseling and case management for GLBT clients ages 60 and above.
That's great.
Now, Chris Kerr, K-E-R-R, will be the program coordinator for the clinical work. And the program is a collaboration between the Counseling Center and the Montrose Clinic,
mm-hmm.
which I'm very happy to see. See the two working together more and more, with assistance from Primetimers, a group of men over 40, the Four Seasons Club, which is older gentlemen, lesbians over age 50, LOAF, and Old Lesbians Organized for Change, which is a group. Yes. The Counseling Center will hire, now this is a particularly good thing. The Counseling Center will hire part-time peer counselors who are age 60 or older and GLBT.
Wow.
Qualified applicants are asked to respond to Ann Robeson, the executive director of the Montrose Counseling Center.
One thing I think is wonderful about that is, you know, sad but true that, you know, once you lose your looks in the gay your shelf life is over.
Oh, tell me.
That self-fulfilling prophecy. and if you don't have a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
you know, your prospects can, you know, because a lot of people in the gay community, as it stands now, don't get hired for looks to a certain extent.
Yes.
And the whole idea that that problem is being addressed is wonderful, that you know, there is an outreach,
yes,
to
is.
Help people have a viable life.
Now, there are, you know, this is looks like it's focusing mainly on substance abuse and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are other programs for everyone, mm-hmm. for those, but very, very few, if any, are focusing.
That can set in that
sure.
is very deadly.
Sure.
Very deadly, and doesn't need to be so... Again, a self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah. How many times have you walked into a gay bar at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and seen mm-hmm. several 60-plus old men already schnockered?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there you go. And it seems to be the life.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yep.
And it doesn't have to be.
No.
There's plenty of good stuff out there to do. And anybody can jump in there
yeah.
with their opinions, even.
Really?
You know, even though you're not even close to 60.
Oh, well, yeah. This is the other David.
I mean, you can even say, great, keep Grandpa out of our hair.
Listen, I don't see what the whole thing is with the older crowd, because, I mean, I dig some of the older crowd.
Good for
yes,
you.
Yes, I know.
But I'm barely going on 20.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean... I don't look at looks with people. It's all about their personality and what their experiences are.
But, you know, see, part of that problem may be that there's always been this onus on older gay men trying to mentor younger gay men
right.
because of the sex angle
mm-hmm.
or the perceived, even just the perceived. You know, you see an older man with a younger man and even I. You know,
sure.
you think, oh, you know, okay, sugar daddy, or, mm-hmm. you know, he's robbing the cradle, or whatever.
I remember
but
back
in
the... It may not even be that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember back in the early 90s when I was going to this other church, I was hearing about this Mambi program or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that's it was real bad and stuff, you know, and... The Mammy program?
So what?
NAMBLA.
Yeah. Oh, North American Man Boy Love Association.
Yeah. Didn't they do a show on South Park about that?
I'm sure.
Sure.
I'm sure that
everybody did.
I'm sure they did.
Allen Ginsberg actually joined that just to make a statement.
Yes.
Just to go, oh, get over it.
Yeah.
And I'm not in favor of any kind of predator thing on young people, no matter what sexuality. You know, obviously, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, it's kind of sickness.
Well, we mentioned, you know, earlier in the transgender segment, we made mention that there is a legal age for sex.
Yeah.
Which isn't absolutely arbitrary.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know some 13-year-old people who are perfectly capable of having sexual relations, and I know some 25-year-old people who shouldn't have sex at all.
Exactly. Yeah.
They are way too young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where I feel about it.
Yeah.
But I think the problem with a lot of the NAMBLA members is that they're looking for boys that haven't even entered puberty yet.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's what it was.
Right. Exactly.
Sounds like a very disorganized organization.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, man, I remember hearing about that, and oh, man. And one of the times I heard about it was on the 700 Club.
Oh, yeah. Now, you see where we are with that? You know, we have this thing about men and young boys.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're not talking about gay or straight here. We're talking about sexual predators, and we're talking about pedophilia. When you're talking about somebody who hasn't even entered puberty yet. Yet!
Ugh.
You can go to almost any strip club,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to find a woman on the stage in a little Catholic girls' school outfit.
That's right.
Because that is... That is an acceptable fantasy for straight men.
Sure.
Yeah, it's supposed to do the whole thing of innocence and everything. And
yes.
You know, when she takes it off and stuff, they're like, whoa, well, she's not too much of a good girl, except when she's in front of me.
I don't see what they're attracted of. I almost like women in leather or something like that.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing is, I like...
Xena or something like that. You know?
My girlfriend from high school and I are still friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember she was teaching middle school or something. You know, and we were talking about how she says, you know, you look at them and they're just, they're, and sort of just pubescent.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, She said, their skin is beautiful. I mean, you know, not that would do anything about it, but just on a physical appearance, they're beautiful, these babies. I mean, they are just,
that's
they're just lovely.
Why they be sexually attracted to them. It's like trying to be with your little sister or something. It's like, ew.
Well, you know.
You know.
It's unfortunate.
They're real pretty and everything, but it's kind of...
It's the whole idea of capturing innocence.
Yeah, exactly. And consuming it. The whole idea of like this vampiric thing of getting your energy by devouring their innocence.
Yes.
And that,
yes.
That's no matter. I mean, anytime there's a vampiric relationship, it's not good.
No.
You're right.
Yes.
Reminds me of something I read.
No matter what age.
Something I read about Burroughs and Ginsberg, since Burroughs was a lot older than Allen Ginsberg.
But they were both in past college age.
I know. It's just a concept.
And Ginsberg was... Burroughs was a lot older. And Burroughs was the old... And was very much in love with...
Mm-hmm.
Ginsberg, you know, and Ginsberg was like, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no.
My lover is 21 years older than me.
Yeah, yeah.
It just so happens I'm 57.
Well, I
and so nobody raises an eyebrow.
Well, you know, 21 age is okay.
And there's a thing, too, where there are... I mean, it was really clear, I think, pretty young that I was going to turn out gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of knew it, but, you know, didn't have the language for it or anything. And... I have lots of straight friends, a lot of married friends, and there are certain of their kids that I pretty much can, they're going to grow up to be gay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And,
and
they'll really click with me and be very affectionate, and then I'm very, very careful with them.
Oh, yes.
But in the sense of, like, if I had a different personality, it could their affection could be endanger them.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, my job is to make them very comfortable with their own sensitivity and their own sympiat gayness and just their sweetness, but not to...
You're the big gay uncle.
Yeah, yeah. And
exactly.
A lot of times they know I'm gay because I'm out, and so they already have this role model of this, I'll say I'm a nice person.
Yeah.
And to me, there's some value... But again, because of everybody's big fears, you have to be very, very careful with it. Because they're just sweet and affectionate, you know, and they don't know what they're doing yet.
I was listening to this and thinking about my own views on this, that when I try to take a look at the whole kind of the larger picture about sexuality in general, be gay, straight, somewhere in between, there's still have this negative attitude towards sexuality. So it's kind of like, I can think about when I was growing up, and there's a lot of stuff which I did or choices I made or information, trying to figure out how things are going, which if I'd had more accurate information,
that's
I would have
right.
done something different.
Yeah.
Yet the cultural environment says, no, you're not supposed to know this.
Mm-hmm.
And so here I am, here's this, I got this body, it's doing something, but I don't know.
Right.
I didn't even know enough to know what questions I asked. I didn't know I need to ask questions.
Yeah. A lot of times they couldn't answer the questions because they weren't taught that same thing that we need to be taught.
Right.
Then they're afraid if they do tell you, you're going to go out and try to.
Yeah.
You just want to know to know.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to do what you're going to do. I don't know. Sometimes I think kids just follow their little hormonal impulses and it leads somewhere and they don't even know. They're just... following the hormones.
Yeah, I
and
remember,
stuff happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember asking my mom, this is when I was in my 20s, and I was telling my mom about me talking about blowjobs, something with my friends. And my mom was like, you mean you talk about this openly with your friends?
Right.
I said, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And it's like, you didn't do that with your peer group when you was younger?
No.
No, we didn't never talk about that. We just didn't talk about it at all. How the hell did you learn how to have sex?
Yeah.
Do anything?
Yeah.
Y'all don't never talk about it. Like,
I was watching, that show, The View?
Mm-hmm.
My mom watches it every day, and, she's a widow, and I go and spend the night with her once a week.
Uh-huh.
And it was on, and Betty, they were talking about the sex doctor, right? The sex therapist or whatever. And it turned out it was Betty Dodson, who was quite a prominent figure in the 70s. And it was the whole idea that a lot of women had never masturbated, didn't have any permission to do that.
Yes.
Had never even looked at their genitals.
Yes.
And she would have these workshops where people would bring mirrors and they would look at themselves and learn techniques. And she was this really cultural hero, and I was just so glad to see that she's still around and she's still giving this great advice. And my mom, you know, and I have talked about how, you know, she and her friends don't talk about any of that kind of stuff.
Oh, no.
And
no.
It took her years to get used to the whole idea that me and all my friends, no matter what their sexuality, pretty much know everybody's story and what everybody's doing, more or less. Mm-hmm. But because of Betty Dodson being there, she started talking about, well, she was going, well, you know, when your father and I were married, I was pretty shy. At first. And I just thought, oh, I love you, Mom. Everything. So pretty obvious things hotted up, and she got over her shyness.
There was there's a series that was on Bravo cable this week called Great Things About Being.
Oh, how was that?
And it was, you know,
fat and queer.
Yeah.
It was good.
I heard y'all talking about it last week.
Yes. Did anybody get a chance to see the queer one?
Unfortunately, I don't have cable.
Well, what was it?
Greatest Reason?
Yeah, well, what was it like?
It was like the top 20 reasons for being the greatest things about being queer.
What were some of them?
Show tunes?
Oh, yes.
Number one was Cher.
Yes. Because she's ageless.
Right.
And
my favorite one that I thought was pretty funny was... I think it was number 8. No, not 18. I think it was number 10. It was, you get to see everybody naked.
Yes.
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 Yes. It's true.
And they did a salute to fag hags.
Yes. Yes. Where would we give it, Adam?
It was kind of a freeform thing. They had a whole bunch of queer people on.
Sort of just like this.
Sort of like giving their little impressions about each thing. And a lot of it was very stereotypical.
Sure.
Stereotypical, but it was true.
Yeah.
Like playing a gay person in a movie would get you an Oscar.
Yes.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned Cher was the top of the list, because I always stuck in my brain this friend of mine. She was doing marketing research on one of her theses at Berkeley when she graduated, was the economic potential of the gay community, and this was around 77.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the quotes she had overheard by being around me that she included in the thesis was, I can't decide whether to go to the Cher concert or the orgy tonight. So Cher is eternal. That's the question, still comes up.
Absolutely right. She's not, well, not only that, it's like with divas. Of course, they had a whole thing on divas. Is that, you know, she's had a tortured life, and, you know, she's had hard times, and she's overcome diversity, and she's ageless, and she recreates herself all the time.
And we even have male divas now.
Yes! Yes, you can be a male diva.
Yeah.
But it's not as easy.
No.
For some reason, gay men identify with women. And, I think what it is that when a woman sings a song, we don't have to change the pronouns.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
She's talking about him and her man and this, that,
which is why I like stuff like you were playing, that guy and Rufus Wainwright and different people.
Absolutely.
You know, when he sings about him, he's singing him.
Because when gay men are singing, they sing about their boyfriends.
I was watching House a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Great show.
And they did a song about this girl, a little girl that had cancer, and she had like a clock in her brain.
Wow.
But at the beginning of the movie, they were playing, I think, a Beautiful by Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the show, House had on his headphones, and they was playing the song again, but it was sung by a man.
Cool.
Oh,
and I was like, that is cool.
You know, I'm old enough that I was around for folk music, and they had that thing on Bob Dylan that Martin Scorsese did last week, or a couple weeks ago, two-part. Wonderful series on his early career.
No, I missed that.
Oh, it was great. Well, I taped it.
Oh.
Anyway, and a lot of the folk songs were sung, regardless of whether you're a man or woman, if it was sung from a point of view, you would sing it. So they had this one of these Irish singers, and he's this big, burly guy.
Yes.
And he's singing this lovely folk ballad about his true love, and it's about a man and my long hair and all this stuff. And it reminded me of how fun that was, that there would be these, like, obviously big guys, and they would be singing, you know, mm-hmm. not changing the genders when they would sing these folk songs.
I've noticed that a lot listening to,
old folk music. Yeah.
Irish and Scottish folk songs.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
It may be a man sing about, a woman's mm-hmm. experience, or a woman sing about a man's experience.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you see, that a lot of what we think of as early gay music
mm-hmm.
was really the fact that in the 20s and the 30s, and even up until through World War II, when a composer wrote a song, the copyright was so strong that not a single word could be changed. So if a song was written for a woman to sing, mm-hmm. a man could sing it, but he couldn't change the pronouns. So you've got copies of Bing Crosby singing about his, how wonderful this man is. And, yeah.
Great, yeah.
But that changed after World War II.
Yeah.
I guess so that more male singers could sing female songs. And
The Beatles
somehow
still covered boys.
I couldn't imagine Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, I know.
He just wouldn't do it.
So, that's what was happening.
Although he did do Strangers in the Night.
He did do that.
Yeah?
And that was the theme song from My First Lover and I, because we met when that song was popular.
Sure.
Yeah. So I am old, officially.
A little game I'll play myself. I'll be listening to the blues songs here on KPFT on Sunday mornings. And I'll be playing these songs, which have lots of double meanings in them.
Mm-hmm.
Some women be talking about the man's got the right key, but he got the wrong keyhole and other things mm-hmm. like that. And I started to turn that around. Look at that from a gay perspective. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, I actually thought of something. Oh, Jimmy's not on the headphones right now. I'll wait till a minute until he comes back on. Well, he's not going on. Jimmy, I thought of something.
Oh, he's sitting here.
Okay.
What?
Well, actually, one thing I've really found interesting is that article that was in the Voice, I guess, one of the papers, talking about how there's a black group that has started outing black preachers.
I think that was incredible. Yeah, papers last week.
Because I've heard a lot of black JLBT people talk about all these black preachers who will be really homophobic, really working against gay people, and they're down low or they're closeted or whatever. And I'm not that big of a fan of outing, but somehow,
Well, that's exactly what we were doing
mm-hmm.
10 years ago when we were outing politicians who were against laws for mm-hmm. civil liberties mm-hmm. for gays and lesbians. Mm-hmm. Those closeted ones.
Yeah. I mean, because I found myself in this weird position where, I remember the civil rights days. And when people ask me who I think the bravest people of the 20th century are, as far as I'm concerned, it was the people who sat down at those counters down south. When I was in Memphis, I went to the Civil Rights Museum, not Elvis's mansion. But I found myself recently in this weird position where I, as sympathetic as I am to black causes and all that, all of a sudden I thought, well, I don't know if I want black leaders to be really in power right now, because there's so much unrefined, unprocessed homophobia. And as a gay man, regardless of what race I was being, I would be in danger. I feel like I would be in danger in a certain way. And I've talked to a lot of black friends who were really badly treated by their own community because of their homosexuality.
I can never understand why
That they're doing that.
The Anglo-gays, they kind of came up with their own churches and stuff and just formed their own, you know, thing. They still worship the same God and, you know, use the same Bible and everything. They just kind of... I was wondering why the blacks don't do that.
Me
why
too.
They just go these other churches and be on a down low and all that instead of form your own blasted church.
That's right.
And you can be out and all out and don't, you know.
And that's kind of why I'm in favor that they are doing that. Because maybe it will lead people to, you know.
This is why you got a lot of these people that are on the down low, and it's causing a lot of problems with the straight females and the bi females. And by them being afraid to come out and say it.
Well, yeah.
It's causing problems.
Yeah. Well, one thing I've said, I think, on this show before, that I'll say again, is I've heard different black preachers and everything. And like I said, I'm old enough to remember when civil rights movement was big, happening big, and things were really starting to change. And you would have these southern white preachers who would quote scripture about why black people should be in their place and whatever, and why, you know, to rationalize everything about the oppression of black people. And nowadays, I hear these preachers using the same tone of voice, the same kind of scripture quoting, to down and oppress gay people.
Yeah,
and that to me is like, don't you see the correlation? Mm-hmm. Don't you see that you're doing to others what you don't want and have had done to you?
I agree with you on that, because I have a friend. I told him recently about me being gay and everything, and about my relationship and stuff. And as soon as I told them, they're like, "You're evil." They're like, "You, what are you doing to
and
your
what
life?"
Is
and blah,
that?
Blah, blah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like I heard in church that this, and I heard in church that that, and you know, that you're gonna go to hell for this, and blah, 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 blah. And
she forgets one of the key words in Christianity, or the similar religions and faiths, that love.
And the women
idea.
Seem to be really terrified of it. I mean, it's a real threat, it seems like.
And it's this thing about these churches is they it's like you got to go by what they say and everything. You can't make up your own mind what you think of it. It's like when you make up your own mind what you think of it, all of a sudden you're evil and stuff, you know, because it's like either you're going to follow our philosophies and our way and all that,
that's
else
it.
You're going to hell. And it's like, it's not just the gay thing. It's a lot of other stuff too.
You know, where's the compassion and the love in that?
It's like I was going to church for years, and I felt terrible, and you know, felt like a bad person, and felt right.
Yeah.
And as soon as I got away from that, and started kind of like just going on my own, and then I started going to church with David, you know, which is a mostly majority white, but it's a little multicolored, but it's not a. It's like a religious science.
Yeah, church religious
science. So they more open with you thinking for yourself. Okay, you can go with us what we're saying is, but kind of go. They tell you to go research it. Go find out.
Yeah.
You know, they open to that. It ain't like, oh, it's our way and that's it. You know,
our
you go
way,
and research,
highway,
but all of a sudden you're bad and you're evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
don't ask
go
too many
do
questions.
It, you know?
Yeah.
Ask a bunch of questions. You know, do this, do that. So that's the reason why. It's like the black gays had their own church.
And it's terrible.
You can be open like that.
And it's terrible to make people choose between their spirituality and their sexuality.
Yeah.
That's, it shouldn't be like
that's
that.
That's inhuman.
Because these things are all part of the same.
And it's so sex negative. Sex is so bad. You know, it's like...
Except for procreation.
Exactly. Yeah, but you gotta be
own and don't enjoy it.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
you can't enjoy it.
Well,
yeah.
Then
what's
I'm
the point?
Yeah, because me and David, it's like, oh, you're dating a white person, and he's dating a black person. Oh, you're evil. Now you're going to hell now. Oh, you know, it's like, oh, you're bisexual. When you're new, you believe in walking around naked and all
even,
that type of
even
stuff.
You're even more dangerous.
Right. Yeah.
That's even more subversive.
Yeah.
And to defense of some Christians... As I happen to be.
Sure.
There is Christian churches out there that you can find that are welcoming and open to homosexuality and all of the things that come with it.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the church that I usually go to, since I've moved, I haven't been able to go as often. But the church is actually ran by a lesbian. Mm-hmm. So it's very opening. You just have to go and find these places.
Sure,
and
sure.
They'll welcome you with open arms, and they will help you with whatever you need, your counseling and all of that stuff.
And the point she was making that I think is really great is that maybe some of this outing and people really sort of going, okay, yeah, enough of all this stuff, there will be, you know, it won't just be mostly Christian organizations, that there will be some really strong, healthy black Christian organizations and churches.
Most of the churches that are out and maybe something gays, or maybe run by gays, ministers are probably gay or lesbian.
Yeah,
are mostly Anglo. It's not hardly any Hispanics or any other race that's doing the same thing. It's like it's taking them forever to catch on because they still want to go. For some reason they want to be accepted at this church. It's like, why do you want to be accepted at a church that ain't gonna love you as they find out who you really are? Mm-hmm. You gotta go around being a phony
and not having to be afraid in your own community, in a sense.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, see, with Resurrection MCC, I know they have a black priest, I guess is what they call her. Call her.
But the thing of priest, it is priestess, about Resurrection, something like,
they also have, believe they have a multi, not generational, but multi-denominational section to their church that you can practice in your different faiths and be included in that stuff. I'm not completely up with Resurrection because I think I've gone there a couple of times. But I noticed with a lot of the gay churches, they're more multi-ethnical, and I think that is better than you having the churches segregated, because you run into problems with that.
It just depends on what... Everybody should be able to hang out with who they want to hang out.
The thing of it is, a lot of these black churches, and I kind of miss it sometimes, I miss the choir.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Hallelujah. Yeah.
I've been to a good black Southern Baptist church.
It'd be nice to have a gay church.
Yes,
that's like that, you know.
Yeah. And the point that I think that the reason why I was so glad to see this story is that it's something that's needed to be addressed for a long time, that strong homophobia in those churches. And it wasn't for some white person to do it. And I'm glad to see that finally from within the community, people are speaking up and being heard and doing something about it. It's just really inspiring and great.
They got to eradicate this down low stuff because it's really causing, like they're finding out the majority of people that's getting AIDS now is black females, and that's not good, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's another aspect of the down low problem is that it's a huge spreader of AIDS and syphilis and all of the other wonderful alphabets.
They don't want to use any. They don't want to be careful.
They just want to get it as quickly as possible and get out of there and not be seen doing it.
Yeah, and then they get with these women and they not saying anything about it. What a woman would maybe
or
try
it's
to
their
be
wives or their long term girlfriends that they've been sleeping with for a long period of time.
I had friends that I grew up with that has died because their boyfriends or their husband was on the down low and they died of AIDS. And it's these are like straight women or bi women,
right?
And it's
and it's a large part just from not being able to be real and be yourself. Having no permission.
Me and David, I mean, we dating each other, and, you know, if we ever got married, but see, me and Dave, I'm bisexual and he's bisexual, and we real open about being with other people. Like, sometimes I might want to be with a woman, or he might be a man or whatever, and we open about it. We don't keep no secret. So it ain't like we're going to be spreading disease, because we know to be careful, you know? Because we respect each other.
For any healthy relationship, there has to be some measure of honesty. I mean, not where you're hurtful, you're, you know, gory details
honesty
or anything.
Is very
but
important
honesty
in
is important in any kind of relationship. Yeah. I mean, even monogamous relationships, you have to be honest about your stuff.
Right.
But much less when it's an open relationship.
But even so, you know, you always have to ask. It's always best to just ask somebody out, do you have a STD or something?
That's right.
Because when I came out of the closet and everything, the first person I had messed around with somebody that I barely even knew. Mm-hmm. But I did ask about STDs, and he was just about as scared and everything, just mm-hmm. as much as I was. And, you know, I asked, we used protection and everything, and I, just to be sure, and I always ask. I mm-hmm. never have messed around with anybody without asking them if they actually had one.
Yeah, and I mean, and by doing that, it gave you confidence
yeah.
to explore your sexuality and find out who you were, I imagine.
I remember telling David that, you know, that if it's okay, you know, you want to be a man and stuff, just make sure you use protection. Mm-hmm. And I would do the same thing as I got with some guy or woman or whatever. I would use protection with that guy no matter what. So,
yeah, if you ever have a question, and not just even for the mm-hmm. straight women who are out there listening to us, if they're listening to us, but if you have... You suspect, you know, you see the little indicators here and there. Go ahead and ask.
Well, and also, I'm sort of generally very open-minded. I'm an old hippie, I suppose. You know, and if somebody wants to go for broke, don't fool yourself. Know that you're going for broke and just whatever...
And be prepared for the consequences
and maybe,
of that situation.
And it might be worth it to that person. Who am I to say or judge, you know?
All right, ladies and gents, it's time for us to go because we've got Lee Dabala waiting in the wings with
all right.
the Zydeco Polka.
It's fun music to drive home to.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
So, y'all got 30 seconds. Give it
to
me.
No.
Yes.
Play number one.
Play number one.
That's
not the going home stuff.
What? Uh-oh. Okay. We'll do y'all shout outs and then I'll get the
shout out yet. Just play it.
Play it.
Come home, wherever you are, and meet the young lady who fell from a star. She fell from the sky, she fell very far, and Kansas, she says, is the name of the star.
Kansas, she says, is the name of the star.
She brings you good news, or haven't you heard, when she fell out of Kansas.
Okay, we were playing Wizard of Oz.
Come out, come out.
Come out, come out, in honor of National Coming Out Month or Week.
Yay!
Day.
October the
yes.
11th.
Speaking of out and black ministers.
Yeah, there you go.
And because yep. it's Coming Out Day, you know what that means. It means happy birthday, Ray Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been out for 30 years and have never regretted it for a moment. It has done nothing but make my life wonderful. I promise you.
Okay, now can we do the 30-second shout-outs?
No, do we have a minute to chat about Coming Out Day?
Yeah.
Because coming out means coming out...
Everywhere.
Well, exactly. as comfortable as you are, if you are
that's right.
If you are a teenager and you're in school and you're living at home, maybe that's not the best time to come out.
And start by coming out to yourself.
Yes, yes. That has to
that's
be number one.
That's the
exactly.
foundation, and then get comfortable with
you
that,
cannot,
and then see where you go with that.
That's right. You can't come out to anybody else unless you're comfortable with coming out. Because people are going to be asking you questions, mm-hmm. especially your parents. Like, are you sure? Do you think mm-hmm. this is a phase?
That's right.
And you have to be able to say no. This is the real mm-hmm. thing.
You ain't gonna yeah. run across those nosy family members that ask you, well, how do you have sex and how do you do this and do that? They're personal questions.
Yeah, well, then you don't have to answer those.
Be careful what I ask for. You may find out.
Yeah. But if you follow your heart, it eventually, no matter how rocky it is at different points, it will all turn out good. I think so, anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Now we do the 30-second shout-outs.
Ah.
Hi.
Yeah.
So, don't everyone speak at once.
Good night. Enjoy your lives.
Have a happy Saturday.
Be safe. Be happy.
Be well.
All right. That ends another night of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on 90.1 KPFT in Houston.
Nope.
I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to say end. 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Actually, the legal ID is, as you can read up here...
Please rem... Oh, wait.
Go ahead and say it.
Please remember that we are legally obligated to give a station ID at the top of every hour. KPFT Houston is the ID, not KPFT in Houston. Many PSAs and promos have the KPFT Houston woven in. Commercial-free listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio KPFT Houston, and those are acceptable.
Yes.
And 89.5 in Galveston.
There you go.
And the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Or if it's snail mail, it's 419 Lovett Boulevard.
I can't believe I blanked on the address.
Houston 77006. Now you can hit the button.
Now we're going to go to music because I think I'm fired.
Been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT.
Don't forget to check out our sister program, Queer Voices, every Monday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. We love to hear from you, our listeners. We want your story ideas, discussion topics, event announcements, love mail, hate mail,
dirty pictures!
And there are two ways to get it to us.
Snail mail is After Hours, care of KPFT 90.1 FM, 419 Lovett Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77006.
Our email address is afterhours@kpft.org. If you missed a show or want to share a part of a show with a friend, check out our online archive at kpftarchive.org.
We will be back next week, and hopefully you will be able to join us. On behalf of the crew of After Hours, good night and have a great week.
This is listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT 90.1 FM Houston and 89.5 FM Galveston. You can always find us on the World Wide Web at kpft.org.